This message that I put together, I call it The Journey. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the disciples' journey, but I'm also going to talk a little bit about my journey. And I don't know about you guys, but I like to travel. My wife likes to travel. I'm sure a lot of you like to travel too. But the disciples went on just such an amazing journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just start by reading some of what it tells in the Bible about their journey. And I'll start in Matthew 4, 18 and end in 25. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee. This is Jesus. He went out throughout all of Galilee, teaching in synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought him all the sick. They were those that were afflicted with various diseases and pains, and those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, which is a Greek word meaning 10 cities, and from Israel and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. The disciples were also with Jesus when he fed the 5,000, when he walked on water, raised Lazarus from the dead. They were with Jesus at the Last Supper and went with him to the Mount of Olives. And before he was arrested, Jesus told them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'Strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." After Jesus' resurrection, he walked, he talked, and ate with the disciples. And when he had ascended to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort, guide, and teach them, so he could continue his journey with the disciples. After the disciples' journey on earth ended, they were still on a journey that lasts forever. They had eternal life with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But before they passed from this earth, they left something for all mankind, a memorial, a marker, a testimony of their journey with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The New Testament. You know, that it was like an instruction booklet, a guiding, something to keep them in the middle of the road on Christianity. Just, the amazing thing is that all who believe Jesus is the Son of God and ask him to come into our lives can have a similar journey with God that lasts forever. A bit different than the disciples. You know, they were with Jesus, the God-man who walked on earth, the resurrected Jesus, who was seen by 500 people, including the disciples. But Jesus ascended to the Father God. I think our relationship with him after he ascended is similar to theirs. You know, did you ever think about your own journey? You know, where would you be if you'd never met Jesus. I can say, how many of you feel that you're on this journey with Jesus? Quite a few. Not everyone raised their hand low, but quite a few. Okay? You know, this has been a year of reminiscing for me. First off, I was told I needed bypass surgery. Okay, that'll make you think, right? Yeah, that'll get you really thinking. And you know, I just had a birthday. So that makes me think too, when I have a birthday. And not as much as Dan and Nancy maybe, but anyways, I had a birthday. Then, I'm 50 years out of high school. So, okay. Been getting some stuff from the class, you know, want to get together and win the award this year at the banquet. So I'm 50 years in the lumber business. 50 years. So should be 30 years and out, right? 50 years. 50 years married to the same gal. Whoa. Thanks. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that guy deserves a medal, right? Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, okay? Yeah, you know, it seems like I'm 50 years out from everything. You know, this made me think about, you know, things in the past, what's going on right now, maybe the future. And I came across this. I thought this was really good. Since the past is the lesson, the present is the gift, and the future is the motivator. Pastor Phil was talking in the baptismal service we had a few weeks ago that baptism was a marker, a confession of your faith in Christ made publicly, something you can remember and tell others about what God has done in your life. He also talked about the Israelite people who erected a marker or memorial with 12 rocks taken from the Jordan River. So when their children ask, what is this? They can tell them what the Lord had done for the people of Israel. He stopped the flow of the Jordan so that they could cross to the promised land on dry land. You know, the Bible is just full of these markers that God has put there so that we can see him and realize about him, about what he does. You know, I gotta bring that up, but just think about that again, what I just read. The past is a lesson, the present is the gift, and the future is the motivator. Our journey with Jesus can be a great help for others who are trying to find their way. You know, I could look back before I asked Christ into my life. Now, I don't even remember how old I was. I was 10, 11 years old. My family never really went to church. And my mom took us to a little church down the road and was all my experience as a child, really, going to church. And anyways, I was walking down the road with my cousin John, and he's born in April too. He's the same age as I am. And he was, you know, with John, it seemed like everything was, he was sort of secretive or something, I don't know. You know, it was like a big secret that he'd gave his life to the Lord. But He said that he felt so clean and so free, and what a wonderful experience it was. You know, as his testimony influenced me, the next time I went to church, at their church, they would have an altar call, and you would go forward. So I went forward because of what John had told me about his experience, and I accepted the Lord, and it was sort of uncommon in our family, really uncommon. But anyways, that little church, I remember, it was a sort of a big open room, but that was the whole church, and in the back there was two big potbelly stoves, one on each side, and when it was cold, that's where church was, at the potbelly stoves. And then another unique thing about that church was, like, the wall behind the pulpit was full of honeybees. And if it was summertime, you know, they would be buzzing around a little bit. And if you would go out behind the church and peg a couple rocks at that hole where they go in, it was like the service would get more lively. I think it was called Bee Revival. But, yeah, that was, yeah. Anyways, I'd mentioned there my dad, my grandfather, too, they just had such a rejection for Christianity. And I really never knew why. But then I knew that my grandmother had died when my dad was like 2 years old. I never knew no one ever mentioned anything about her. I never knew a thing about her. And there was a woman in the neighborhood, and she, I found out she knew my grandmother. So I went and talked to her, and I found something out. I was hoping this wouldn't happen. But my grandmother was a Christian. I thought, and I don't know if this is true, but I thought, I wonder if my grandfather blamed God for her passing away. But anyways, I do have her Bible. It's dated 1913. She had to have been 22 years old when she got that Bible. So, but I have something that hurts. You know what? So I got saved, and I don't know, my dad didn't think our family should go to church, so we didn't, and really was away from church, you know, from that age until I was probably, I think, 15. And I was down to the skating ring in Candle Lake, and, man, I seen this girl. And I thought, man, she's it, right? She was, like, perfect. She was like a 69 Camaro, you know? Everything was just right. Yeah, okay. I had one of them, too. I still got the girl, but I don't have the car. But anyway, she was a real, of course, she invited me to BYF, and we went to Camp Judson, and I rededicated my life, and eventually, I was 19, and she was 18 and a half, and we got married, and we went to that church, that same church, or not that church, but her church, the Baptist church, and she was a you know, she was like my saving grace because I knew nothing, and there was no gray areas. It was either black or white. It was no gray areas. And so that sort of kept me on the straight and narrow all the time. But anyways, I ended up getting baptized in that church. It was a Baptist church. You had a little tub you'd get into, and then they'd whip the curtains open and dunk in, whip the curtains back shut again, and you'd leave. But it was a memorial. It was a marker in my life, like Pastor Phil said, it was, and I still remember it. But anyways, we went to that church, I think 13 years, but I just didn't have a close relationship with the Lord. I went to church. I was in a lot of the boards. I mean, a great relationship with the people. But as far as the Lord, it was sort of, I was a sort of a nominal Christian. And the Lord, I think he was just working on me, but it was that time, back in the 80s, and it was the end of the charismatic movement, and there was a lot of people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and learned about the gifts and worship, and there was a lot of stuff happening. But I was sort of like this. And I guess the Lord was working on me. I know he was, because I was so miserable. I felt like the Israelite people, they had a 2-week journey, and it took them 40 years going around the same rock in the desert. And that's sort of the way I felt. So one Sunday, we were doing a silent prayer for the spaceship Challenger. Remember, it blew up. And we had a silent prayer. And how silent prayer go? They're pretty silent, right? There's a lot of silence going on. That's about it. But there was something else happening. While the silence was going on, I was praying to the Lord. I'd finally come to the point where I just said, Lord, you can use me. I'm yours. I'd finally give him permission to use me. And I'll tell you what. Even that day, I couldn't put the Bible down. From that time forward, the church, instead of being just something I had to go to, it was just so much fun. And get together with my friends and experimenting with the gifts and prophecy, we'd prophesy to each other, and all this stuff was happening. It was just too much fun. But another thing that it did give me was it gave me a great desire to have the rest of my family come to Christ. And the thing, I'd pray, but I thought, it's only on me. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that can do it, because, of course, I'd found out. Not then. I hadn't even found out about my grandmother yet. I thought, I'm like the only Christian in our whole family, and so it's all on me. But I prayed, but wouldn't you know it, God would put other people to talk to my relation. And there was my cousin, Marilyn Heinzman. She was just such a sweetie, such a strong Christian. She was a favorite of my parents, too. There was Debbie McGee. There she is. Her parents Jim and Judy Burgess would talk to my parents, invite them to church. And then there was a friend of my dad's. Some of you have heard this story, but you have to listen again, I guess. But anyways, there was a friend of my dad's, Alex Hanna. And Alex, they were sort of drinking hunting buddies, you know? And so Alex, I didn't, after a while I knew this, but there was a guy here at the church, Bruce Fenstermaker. And Bruce worked with Alex in GE. Well, they sort of had a thing going back and forth. Bruce had long hair, and Alex hated that. And Bruce would ask Alex to church. And first thing you know, Bruce told Alex, he said, if you come to church, I'll cut my hair. So I come to church one day, and there's Alex on the back row. What are you doing here, you know? What are you doing here? He tells me, what's going on? Well, Bruce cut his hair. Alex didn't get saved there, but eventually he did get saved. And Alex became very evangelistic. And he'd go talk to my parents. And it was amazing. I could talk to him. And I remember telling him one time, I says, man, I'm a Christian, and when I go to heaven someday, I'm hoping you're there. And, you know, there was more to it than that. And we get all done, and no one says anything. So I thought, well, but Alex, he could go talk to him, and, you know, it was working good. And anyways, Alex told me, he says, I thought your parents were going to accept Christ, and then your Uncle Pete come in. And so, you know, they went, didn't work. So anyways, Alex called me up. He says, pray, because I think I'm going to go talk to your parents tomorrow. So that afternoon, Alex called me up. He said, hey, he said, I just led your parents to the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, this is like a miracle. I mean, this was a miracle. You had to know my dad. I mean, it was. Unbelievable, really. But anyways, it happened. And then as soon as I got the message, from Alex, I called Jim Burgess up. I said, hey, Jim. I never told my parents this either. I said, hey, Jim, my parents just accepted Christ. I know they're going to need a church family, somewhere to go in, come into. You know, he went to the Mount Pleasant Chapel. It wasn't very far from where my parents lived. I thought this would be the place, and it was. And I went to Mother's Day. I remember going up there Mother's Day with my mom. And, But anyways, my dad, eventually he passed away, and Alex actually did the funeral. So, but then my mom passed away. And I just felt so led to go to my mom's funeral and say something. I just, at my dad's funeral, I just couldn't. I was relieved he was a Christian, but I was just so broke up, I couldn't. So, anyways, I know I want to say something about my parents getting saved. And so I think a little bit about what I should say, and I said, well, my Mom was quite an athlete. I said, every time I'd get in trouble, I'd run for the door and fly through that door, and she always caught me. Somehow she'd always caught me. If I went one way, she'd go the other. She'd catch me. I said, she was really fast. I said, she was also quite a pitcher. She had a good arm. She had an arm. I heard from my Uncle Pete, like Whitey Ford. My Uncle Pete was sitting there too. And I'm telling this, Pete, his wife Marge, and my Aunt Barbara. I said, the story went that Pete told me that I guess my dad and Pete had been out, and I think they'd been up to no good, and they came home, and I think they'd had a little bit too much to drink. And my mom didn't like it, so she started putting the rocks to him. So Pete there, he said she had an arm like Whitey Ford. She backed him right off. So anyways, and I knew this at the time, my Aunt Barbara, she had cancer. So she didn't look that good. And I'm not even sure, it wasn't that long after that, a few weeks, maybe a month. And but someone called me up and said, Barbara wants to talk to a minister, and she, aren't you a minister or something like that? And I said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really a minister, and which I wasn't at the time, but I was a Christian, and it was a bad night or late at night. I don't even remember, but she sort of gave me a way out because I wasn't a minister. I should have went, but I didn't. And I think it was like the next day she died. So I felt terrible. I felt crushed that I hadn't gone. And but it was too late now. So it was probably a month or so later. There was a guy came to a church, and the reason he came was his daughter was doing the working in the kitchen for someone putting up the backsplash, and he was had been a teacher at McDowell High School, and I'd known him years ago through another friend that was a teacher there too. And he came after the service, he came up to me and he says, is Barbara, you relation to Barbara Blakesley? I said, yeah, but I had two Barbaras. I thought he meant the other one, but he meant the one that was the teacher in McDowell. He says, I told him, yeah, she's my aunt. He says, boy, she was a really hard lady. I knew that. She was really hard, really hardened, really, really tough lady. He said, you know, I heard she accepted Christ. I'll be all right. Yeah, there we go. I'm back. Okay. She accepted Christ. I was so happy. I couldn't believe it. There again, I didn't even do anything. Someone else did it. Amen. I was hoping this wouldn't happen. So, anyways, I think about a year and a half ago, I got a call from my Aunt Marge. And she says, your Uncle Pete and I were baptized. And she passed away too, and she had cancer. But Nathan and my son Jeff and I went down to the memorial service and in Piketon, Ohio. Here they were in this little church. It was a converted bar, sorta. Bar to a church. They still had the bar. They still had the stools. They still had everything. But it was a church. They hadn't quite renovated it yet. But that's where they've been going to church. And I asked my cousin Carol later on. I was talking to her. And I asked her. I says, well, so Uncle Pete, he made a confession of faith in Christ. She says, yes, he did. And, there was another miracle. And I wasn't even there. But I did pray. I did my part, I guess. I prayed. So, can't even read. I'm crying so. So, anyways, I just felt the Lord gave me this message for a reason. And I think there's different reasons this message could be for you. And I wrote them down here, but I can't read them. Maybe you need to examine your journey or share it. A part of it, someone else. Or maybe you've been praying for friends and relatives to make a decision for Christ. My testimony will increase your faith and hope that this would come to pass. Or maybe you never started your journey with Jesus. Never ask him to come into your life. You know, they were doing a song earlier. A year of Jubilee. You know that the year of Jubilee was every 7 years. If you had debt, it was forgiven. You know, with Jesus, every year, every day is a year of Jubilee. Your sins are forgiven. All you have to do is accept him. In the church where I accepted Christ, everyone came forward and prayed up front. But it's been our custom in this church that usually Pastor Phil would pray and the congregation would pray after him. And if you were someone that had never done it before, it was the sinner's prayer, a way of basically asking Christ into your life. And just like when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just wasn't releasing. You know, he won't do it unless you ask him to. He won't come in. He's a gentleman. But anyways, I'd like to pray this morning, this prayer. And I'd like the congregation to follow me, but so let's just do that. Now I'll pray, and if I could just have the congregation follow, and if you've never asked Christ into your life and you pray this prayer and mean it in your heart, you are a member of the kingdom of God, and he will come into your life, and you will have, you know, it was the best thing I ever did to ask Christ into my life. And I know there's other people here that would say the same thing, that it's the best thing they ever did. And I know that if you do this, someday you'll say, this is the best thing I ever did. Because it is a journey that's just like the disciples. It is unbelievable. Things will happen that you just, it's just unbelievable. But anyways, I'll pray this prayer, and if I could have the congregation pray after me. I admit I am a sinner. I realize the penalty for sin is death. I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for me. I trust that Christ alone is my Savior and the Son of God.